This is North Shore Today on MSONewsSports.com. I'm Bill Newell along with Rick Moore. And Rick, it's Groundhog Day, and right around here, the sun is out early this morning, so looks like six more weeks of winter, at least around here, for our groundhog.
Yeah, I never got into that, but whatever. Six more weeks of 60 degrees, I guess people will take that.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it's 55, 60. We'll take that. Thank you, Groundhog. And you never got into it. Boy, I'm shocked to hear that, Rick, the scientist that you are, that you would not just latch on to the theory of a groundhog predicting.
Yeah, you know what? I don't even know the mythology of that, where it came from. I don't even know how it got started or why it happens. I did see the Bill Murray movie? That was pretty funny.
Yeah, it was a good movie, yeah. And if that were the case, we'd be doing this program tomorrow and the following day and the following day and the following day. But, see, I don't believe that movie either, Rick. You know, it's just not.
Okay.
All right. Well, in the news today, we got the Iowa caucuses. Folks have finally gone and voted. And, again, it's kind of a complicated process out in Iowa. We had that video up on yesterday's post, which kind of clarified it. It actually was a very helpful video if you didn't watch it, explaining how the caucuses work. And apparently it's Cruz, Trump, and Rubio, 1, 2, 3 in Iowa for the Republicans, and pretty much a tie with Bernie Sanders and Hillary Clinton, although right at the moment Hillary has a lead in those caucus votes in Iowa, and now everyone's jumping on planes and headed to, where do you think they're headed, Rick?
Well, probably not to Hawaii, so I don't know. Again, I don't understand the process. Tim Kearns explained it to me last night, by the way, Bill. He explained how this whole thing is working, so I guess all eyes are on New Hampshire. When is their primary? Is that this week or next week?
Yeah, next Tuesday, a week from today, I believe.
Next Tuesday, okay.
Yeah. So, speaking of primaries, though, Peabody is going to the polls today. They have a primary, and let me just see here. Voters in 15 of the city's 19 precincts, this is out of the Item today in a Jeff Schmaes story for the Item, and is that they'll be casting ballots, first-time candidates on the Republican side. This is the primary. Jacqueline Corvo and Stephanie Peach are running, and as our Democrats are James Matsoulis, Tom Walsh, Craig Welton, one Republican and one Democrat, will move on for that seat. And that's part of the district. We remember we talked with Joan Lovely. She holds some of that district in some of the Peabody folks. But anyways, those are the candidates running for that, and it's a primary day. Some other news. There's a front page story in the Item today on a dog rescue from Pillings Pond in Linfield. So the dog went out on the ice, apparently fell through, but they went out, and they've got six little photographs up there, and the Linfield Fire Department rescued a dog that fell into Pillings Pond in Linfield on yesterday. So a salute to the Linfield Fire Department for nabbing that dog off the ice.
Well, obviously, nothing is frozen solid, and so everything is anything that looks like it might be ice, man, you got to be careful of. Here we are, you know, heading into the second half of winter, and there isn't any safe ice yet. When I went up skiing a couple of weeks ago, I don't know the name of the lake up by Mount Sunapee, but it was not frozen over, and I know the Winnipesaukee is not frozen over. And usually they have an airstrip that they put out there, and all kinds of activities take place on Winnipesaukee this time of year. So I'm sure that some of those celebrations are not happening. And a lot of local people go up there for that stuff.
Yeah, a lot of ice fishing. Yeah, ice fishing, all that stuff, yeah.
Yeah, ice fishing, and they have all kinds of festivals, and they have races, snowmobile stuff. And there's, like I said, on Winnipesaukee, they make an airstrip, and planes land on the ice. It's pretty cool. You mentioned Senator Lovely, and she talked about Sheriff Frank Cousins' new program at the Essex County Jail, instituting a detox unit for opioid battling. And part of a $2.5 million state grant to combat heroin and opioid abuse will now fund the new 42-bed detoxification unit for addicts that opened up in the county jail in Middleton. And according to the article in the Times, the Gloucester Times, the Essex County Sheriff's Department was awarded $157,134 as a grant in order to help out this detox unit. So Senator Lovely mentioned that, and there it is. They're getting funds from the Commonwealth.
Yeah, we hope to maybe check in with Sheriff Cousins as well. Our guest today, by the way, in the program, we're going to run the interview that we did with Ed Bell. Now, Ed Bell is a Marblehead resident, longtime North Shore resident, and longtime in the news business. He's retired. He's been retired for a while, but still incredibly active in a number of different volunteer efforts here on the North Shore. And he does a weekly television program on MHTV, the Marblehead local access or cable. And again, he was in the newsroom. He was the news director at WBZ Radio in their heyday in the 70s and 80s, and WHDH Radio, WHDH TV, and on to the Associated Press and other. And I guess he started at the Salem News many, many years ago. So we're talking a little bit of radio with him a little bit later on. Our two videos are, we got Donald Trump and Ben Carson, both impersonators, talking about the debates. And then we also have, Rick, it's been so warm that we have we found a video on the Schooner Festival from 2015 in Gloucester. So we posted that as well. So folks are getting a little itchy to get out, to put their boats back in the water. And it's a little early, I guess, but there you go. You got a video. You can jump on a boat and go out for the Schooner Festival via our website.
I got one local comment and then one national comment. The Essex voters okayed repairs for Town Hall and the filtration plant in Essex. Apparently, they approved a $362,000 project, and so that took place at the special town meeting in Essex last night. And on NPR yesterday, you know, I've mentioned that it's a misnomer to call these get-togethers on TV with the candidates debates. They're not debates, but that's what that's what the media calls them sloppily. And there was a woman on yesterday from some university, and then she was really cool talking about stuff and how she explains these things to her students because they want to know who won. And she said, well, you can't do it that way. But she called them, I love the term because it's totally accurate, they are not debates, but rather these things are really competitive interviews. And that's what they are. They're not. They don't focus on a topic, and you don't, you know, really try to develop anything logically. But rather, you try to sell yourself, and you know, you don't really respond in essence with any form of logical argument to someone else's attacks. They are competitive interviews, and I think that is the appropriate term. And I hope someday, somewhere, that'll get picked up by the media.
Well, you know, you're right, and I've heard it described that way before as well. That it is the final interview, like this debate that Donald Trump missed last week. Some folks looked at it as Iowans looking at the candidates as for the job interview for the final time. Trump decided not to show up for that debate, and now who knows whether it's related at all. But initially, folks thought he was going to win Iowa, had bigger numbers, but apparently some Trump votes went to Marco Rubio, so it's a pretty close three-way race on the Republican side out of Iowa. Although Ted Cruz clearly wins Iowa and the majority of the, the plurality of the delegates out of the state of Iowa as they move on to New Hampshire. I have one other. Go ahead, Rick.
Well, somebody posted on Facebook a speech of John F. Kennedy's, and I forgot what a great speechwriter he had, or he was himself, or the combination thereof. But it talked about he addressing the fact that he was Catholic and running for president, and some people were attacking him for being Catholic and said, we can't have a Catholic in the White House because he'll be run by the Pope, which certainly sounds very analogous to what's going on today from the Republican side, at least at the top. And he emphasized how he believed in a country that had separation of church and state, and he believed in a country that no Pope would tell a man how to vote, and no minister would tell someone how to think and things like that in terms of the country, in terms of the government. And and he said the fact that I'm Catholic should be important to only me. And obviously much more eloquent and very logical speech, and just incredible the power of the word. And I kind of miss that. People, you listen to these competitive interviews now, and and a question is asked but not answered, and that's disturbing. And I think that's why I don't watch them anymore. You know, you watch them at first to see if anybody really has any substance. They don't. They're just out there trying to stoke the fires and inflame the populace, and they do a good job at that. So, you know, once I've seen that, okay, I get it. I know what you're doing, and I'll have to read in the paper to see if there is any substance to what you're saying at all.
One other story that's in the item today, a Lynn educator is retiring. Patricia Riley, who's the principal at the Shoemaker School now. She's been a principal at other schools, was a teacher in the system for a while, for many years, 40-year career. She's retiring come the end of next month, I believe it is, and she's really an outstanding person. I was able to meet her a number of times over the years when I was there, and just an outstanding, outstanding person. So I'm glad she's getting a little mention, a little pub in the front page of the item, because she truly deserves it. She's done a great job. When I taught my class, I would bring her in for an hour or something or other to meet with students and stuff. She was always willing to do it, and it was always great to have her. And she'll be very much missed, but she's had quite a career, an outstanding career in the Lynn Public Schools, and she'll be retiring. So, and the other thing, Rick, is we're just about, we got Ed Bell, as we mentioned, coming on the program. Rick, what do you remember about Boston News on the radio back in the 70s and 80s?
Well, even before that, I moved up to Massachusetts from Texas. I went to high school down in Killeen my first 3 years, then moved to Gloucester my senior year. And I remember first, I was brought up on radio because as an Army brat, we didn't have television living in Germany. So I remember listening to the Armed Forces Network broadcast whatever sporting event that was, mostly baseball games. So when I came back here, I was looking, first started with KMOX St. Louis, then we moved to Massachusetts, and the games, I believe the baseball games were on WHDH at that time, WHDH Radio, which is now 850, Radio 850 AM. And started there, and then obviously morphed over to WBZ AM because of the Bruins hockey, and I think the Celtics were on HDH as well. So what I remember first, Bill, is the radio broadcast of the Red Sox, the Celtics, and the Bruins. I didn't pick up on the Patriots till sometime later. They also, I think, were on BZ because I think they were on WBZ at that time. But that's what I remember. And then when I started working, I remember at 5:45, I would wake up to, I think it was Don Kent. First it was sports with Gil Santos, then it was Don Kent, and it was Gary LaPierre on WBZ. So that was how I woke up every single day, was to WBZ radio. And I think Ed Bell was the producer at that time.
Yeah, probably. Yeah, probably the news director at that time. Yeah, back in those days. Yeah, and then so he moved around a little bit at as we mentioned as the on the post WHDH and radio and television. And so anyways, we have I definitely remember that, and he has some interesting things to share. Obviously, he worked with Gary LaPierre and had a lot of respect, I guess, for Gary, who really was the one of the ultimate anchors, I think, in Boston, clearly in Boston radio of all time, for sure. And what a long career he had, because he started very young at that those days back in the 60s. In fact, he started in the 60s and was here not that long ago, to be honest with you. And you can obviously still hear his voice, but on doing different commercials and so on. But Gary LaPierre was certainly the anchor of anchors, I guess, in Boston radio, anchored the morning show. And then I remember, too, later on, he would do the new news on television. And we do talk a little bit about Don Kent and how weather forecasting has changed a lot. But, you know, there's just you know, to me, Rick, those days were, you know, those were exciting times in radio. Everything was local. Everything was live, so to speak. It's just so much different than it is today. And radio is just a lot different today than it was back then. And I think it was a lot more fun. So,
well, I remember the fun part for me was I grew up with primarily with Jack Buck and Harry Carey. I didn't grow up with them, but I mean, that's with when I first started listening to American radio. And the fun part was to, when you saw these guys, to put the face with the voice, that was what was really cool. He said, nah, that voice doesn't go with that guy.
Yeah, Harry Carey was, we remember we featured Will Ferrell doing Harry Carey imitations. But you're right. See, Harry Carey had a great career in St. Louis long before he ever got to Chicago and long before he was crazy.
Yeah.
You know, and not that he wasn't a little crazy in St. Louis, but he was, the Cardinals, then later on with the Cubs and Cubs television and so on. But anyways, it was a different time, and you're right. WBZ at that time did have the Celtics, the Bruins, and the Patriots. Not the Red Sox, but they did have those three sports for many years. Johnny Most, Bob Wilson,
Bob Wilson. Oh, yeah. My goodness gracious, and, Bob Wilson.
And Gil Santos. So, So Ed Bell is coming up. We'll be back. We'll check on sports. We've got a big basketball game tonight, so we'll tell you more about that. So stay with us here on North Shore Today.
This is MSONewsSports.com, and we're joined by Ed Bell, former news director at WBZ Radio, WHDH Radio and Television, and worked at the Salem News for a number of years prior to that. Well, Ed, it's just great catching up with you. And before we start, hearing a few stories about the radio industry and some of the great, you know, legendary radio personalities that you worked with.
Well, I worked with a number of them. Of course, Carl DeSouze was the granddaddy of them all, and as was Jess Kane. I worked with Carl first at WBZ, and we had an interesting morning team there. We had Carl, and then we had Gary LaPierre on news. We had Gil Santos doing sports, Don Kent doing the weather, all iconic names in New England. So that was kind of a real fun part of my career.
The weather, you talk about the biggest changes in media, and in a way, is technology has just changed the way the weathermen forecast weather. And, you know, I can, you remember Don Kent, I'm sure you must have worked around him and seen how he might work on the forecast, but it was not the science or the technological science that it is today.
Don would have a sheet of paper with ones and zeros on it, and that told him everything, and I could never figure it out. But he used to run, literally run, up and down the hallway between radio and television to do his thing. And he would sit down and he would look at this sheet of paper with all these numbers on it, and he would predict the weather.
Yeah.
No graphs, no nothing except those ones and zeros.
There was no future cast back in those days.
No, there wasn't. And you know, I think that weather forecasting has gotten a lot better now with all of the tools, particularly with the dawn of the satellite age. Yeah. Don't forget, there weren't any satellites either.
Yeah. So. No, and that's the huge difference, and that's probably where I was trying to go with that. Let's talk about the news guys, because I got to imagine that in the radio, those in television, those were the guys that you worked the closest with in the industry as news director. And begin with BZ, Gary LaPierre. I mean, what a career he had.
He did. I mean, he was a terrific anchor. He was probably the best anchor on radio. And, you know, and the proof of that is he would fill in for Paul Harvey when Paul Harvey went on vacation. I can remember a vice president for Westinghouse saying to me one day, I could listen to him read the menu. And that was the ultimate compliment, I think. But the other side of Gary that maybe not everybody realizes, he was a great investigative reporter. I mean, he did work on the Boston Mafia. If you want to read any of those books that are out now about Whitey and all of that, I mean, Gary LaPierre was years ahead with Stevie Fleming, you know, the Rifleman, Whitey Bulger, all of that. So it was pretty interesting working with Gary.
Now, was that something that he would use on the radio, or you know, or was it just an aside back then?
He would do a series.
Yeah.
There was an attorney in Boston back in the 70s who was blown up in his car, and he lost a leg, and he became a source for Gary, and he peeled the onion back pretty well.
I got it. Yeah, and you know, it's funny because when I think of him too, you think of all the mornings that he anchored every day after day in your life. And one of his claim to fame, I guess, was covering the Beatles when they arrived, you know, of all things here in the United States.
He always got to do the fun assignments too, and he did cover the arrival of the Beatles. One of the things about Gary, obviously, is before I became news director, I was the morning editor. So we were really a team at that point, and we would meet for breakfast at Bruno's Diner in Somerville. He would go on the phone. There were no cell phones then. He would go behind the counter on the phone, and he would do a five-minute bit with Larry Glick on the way to work, that he was on the way to work. And those were always kind of fun. But the key to that was we had a lot of fun.
What time of day would that have been to have breakfast before you went into work for a morning drive?
That would have been about 4 o'clock in the morning. Yeah. We were up about on the road, 3:30.
Yeah, gotcha. Yeah, you know, and that's the other thing too. I was thinking about before talking with you today is that back in those days, whether it be HDH Radio or BZ Radio, it was there was a lot of energy. You know, it's different today with the satellites and whatever the new service is, and with a stripping of personnel, I imagine, at all these stations, sharing of personnel, and so on, multiple stations in the same building. But back then, there was just a lot of energy, and you were focused on one station.
Yes, and it was interesting. There was somewhere along the line, somebody sucked all the fun out of radio. that's kind of my take on it. But in those days, you had three or four stations, and you competed, and you really competed.
Yeah.
And that was that's what made it so interesting.
Not to get too heavy here, but there was a shared culture back in that time, too. In other words, everybody, whether you were 65 years old or 15 years old, there was kind of that shared culture. Everybody watched the Ed Sullivan Show or those kinds of shows. There weren't 100 cable channels to watch or a bunch of radio stations and satellite radio to listen to or iTunes or whatever. People kind of shared that one kind of, in other words, mom and dad would listen to BZ. The kids would listen to BZ.
Well, it was interesting. BZ was kind of the North Shore station, and WHTH was more the South Shore station. And if you looked at the rating books, that's kind of the way it broke down.
Really?
And so if there were more books, ratings books on the South Shore than on the North Shore in any given rating period, WHTH would come up,
yeah,
and vice versa for WBZ. We had huge audiences, both stations, in those days. And I can remember we were at 24% of the people listening to the radio were listening to WBZ. And the general manager said to me, if you can get me to a 25, you can take your wife anywhere in the world for vacation. Well, we never got to the 25. But it was an interesting proposal.
Tell me about your take on the news business now, whether it be, here's another thing, too. I mean, some of the stations, the news guys aren't even in the buildings. They're out there. The news is sourced out, and these are major radio stations, and they're getting a feed from somewhere else, unlike years ago.
Well, news was the most expensive thing to do. And so it became an easy target when money began getting tight. I go back to the day before satellite trucks, and I can remember in television when, we got our first satellite truck. We were at 11 o'clock standing in front of all these empty buildings reporting on stuff that happened a few hours before because we had the capability to do it. It was really pretty dumb when you think about it. But compared to today, I spent a lot of time yelling at the radio and yelling at the television because resources are so tight that they're not covering things that I would cover. For instance, we would move our news operation to New Hampshire for the New Hampshire primary. And that was putting up a lot of people in hotel rooms. It was building facilities in Manchester. But it was really an interesting time. And every one of the presidential candidates would come by and sit in on the talk show. Jerry Williams was doing the talk show in those days, and that was a must-do for any candidate for the office. So you don't see that today.
No, absolutely. Maybe a couple of final questions. If you were around, you are around today, but if you were running one of the television news stations or running WBZ News, for example, today, which is all news now, what else would you do differently?
Well, I have always been a reporter's kind of guy, and even when I went to the Associated Press, it was very clear to the staff that this was a reporter's shop, not an editor's shop, and I would just make sure people are out covering the news. I think there's too much reliance on the Internet, on Google to find stuff out. There's too much reliance on the telephone. There's a lot to be learned by looking into somebody's face. And, whether or not the finances allow that today, I don't know. I hear WBZ. There are a lot of reporters out on the road still.
Yeah.
And I think that's a good thing.
No, there are. Well, tell our listeners what's keeping you busy these days and what you're up to since retiring, maybe almost 10 years ago, about that?
Yeah, it'll be 10 years. Oh, my God. It'll be 10 years this June.
Yeah.
But anyway, I'm very, very busy as a volunteer. I spent a lot of my life on the sidelines reporting on the tragedies that people endure. Now I volunteer for a group called Shelterbox, and we provide tents and life-saving supplies to people around the world who have been victimized by hurricanes, earthquakes, even civil wars. I mean, we're setting up tents along the Syrian border now. So that kind of got me off of the 50-yard line and onto the field. The other thing, I just do a lot of volunteering around town. I have a show called Up for Discussion on MHTV, which is the cable access channel, and we get the editors of the local newspapers, and we sit around and talk about issues. I am on the race committee at the Yacht Club, so I get a chance to go out and not just watch the races, but help run the races. So that's always kind of fun. Rotary keeps me busy, volunteering on a lot of their projects. So I'm pretty much volunteering on a lot of things these days.
Well, that's great. Well, Ed, it's great meeting you and catching up with you, and congratulations on all that you've been able to accomplish, and thanks for your insights. Obviously, we could do a lot more. Ed Bell.
And you just caught me sipping my coffee. Thank you very much, Bill.
Yeah, I couldn't have timed that any better. Okay. Ed Bell with us here on MSONewsSports.com.
Welcome back to North Shore Today. We do have a great basketball game for you tonight. It's a boys' game. Lynn English playing at Danvers tonight. Opening game of the season, I think it was. We had Danvers playing at Lynn English. English handed Danvers a loss. Maybe it wasn't the opening game. Yeah, I think it might have been. And so now we're back for the second half of the season in the North Shore. But I guess it wasn't quite the first game. But anyways, I'm kind of deviating here a little bit.
It was our first broadcast of basketball.
It was.
So
okay.
You are correct.
Okay, it was then. Okay, so and it was a great game. Danvers coming off that state championship, but they got tagged with a loss at Lynn English High School. So, anyways, we'll have that game tonight for you from Danvers High School at 7:00.
Yeah, last night I got to talk to a whole bunch of people on North Shore Sports Night. It was great. Tim Kearns even chipped in and gave a real good precis summary of the Patriots' season, if not history. But, you know, the good news was talking with Steve Krause at the top of the show. I hope people listen in. Steve sounds great. Apparently he's feeling great. In for a long recovery, apparently, after some heart surgery. But the Items editor, the Daily Items news editor, doing very well. And he spoke very highly of a big competitive swim meet. I think it's taking place this week, if not today, in Lynn. And talked very, very highly and effusively about high school sports. So he's keeping his eye, you know, on high school sports, even though he's the news editor over there. But we talked with a lot of other people, too, including the Hamilton Wenham athletic director and the Beverly athletic director. So please take a look at that. We got high school hockey coming up tomorrow night. It'll be the Lynn Jets facing off against the Magicians, the Headers of Marblehead, both teams unbeaten.
Yeah, no losses for either one of those teams. That might change tomorrow night at Salem State, so we'll keep you posted on that as well. So a lot of things happening, so stay with us here on the website. Check back, and again, special thanks to our guest Ed Bell here today on the program. With Rick Moore, I'm Bill Newell. This is North Shore Today on MSONewsSports.com.